Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McQuigan. Mike, say hi.
How everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we are two dudes who drink and we talk about movies. Now, we are in a good amount of the way through our movies that are basically the same theme. And last week we did, I think, the ultimate, which was Fast and the Furious Point Break. This time, we're hunting some humans. And
Doing
we're...
our the most dangerous game.
Yep, we are doing some Most Dangerous Game adaptations. The first of which is Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then the other one is a revisit to our buddy Ice-T and surviving the game. So before we get into those two, we got to talk about what we're drinking. So Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I went to visit my dad in near Rehoboth Beach, and we went to a brewery there called Brickworks, and
Okay.
I got their PsyOps Brooded Sour Ale, Berries, and Habanero.
Nice. Interesting.
And I got it because these movies are kind of ridiculous, and well,
What do you mean kind of? What do you mean kind of ridiculous?
I went for a ridiculous beer, and the beer I had while I was at the brewery, I tried a couple of their more traditional beers, and I liked them all a lot. This one is a fast track to heartburn.
This one immediately gave me indigestion.
It's definitely, when it says sour, it's fairly tart, and you get the berries, and then the back end, you get the habanero, which honestly, the habanero is my favorite part. It's a little sour for my liking, though.
Right. Well, I don't remember which one you did last week, Mike. But I noticed that Total Wine this week had a Ross Brewing beer. So I grabbed it.
That's I
And
was that's where I got my Ross Brewing from. They had a couple when I was there.
all right. So the only one that I found was the Hackensack Hefeweizen.
Yep, that's the one I reviewed.
That's the one you did last week, right? I
Yeah.
thought so. All right. So it is German style Hefeweizen with lemon and blood orange, light fruit, spice by the
I gave a strong review. I don't know. Curious what your thoughts.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's very light and refreshing. Like it's a very drinkable beer. I'll give them that. And it's definitely one of those good like German style beers that you don't have to worry too much about. They're going to be pretty solid. But yes, as much as I hate to admit it, Ross Brewing has actually made a decent beer that I will drink out of my new mug that my daughter made me, which is it's like a dragon mug. It's got this like drag. It's pretty sweet. I love it. So I'm gonna drink out of it, and it happens to hold like exactly one tall boy.
That
So,
is a pretty cool mug. But I hate to tell you, but I was actually recording your comments on Ross Brewing, and they've asked me to come in as a character witness against you in litigation.
good,
I'm like, Ross actually speaks favorably of them.
good. Now they know. But yeah, litigation forthcoming. At some point. All right. So, Hard Target, be surviving the game. We have these movies are separated by 1 year. They are damn near the exact same length too. I think Hard Target might be a minute longer, but it's amazing because what we have here is Jean-Claude Van Damme in Hard Target as Chaz Boudreau looking straight up like a tiny Nicolas Cage in Con Air. It is.
It more like a condensed, it's weird. Like, Nicolas Cage has like that kind of, not really dad bod, but like that kind of athletic, but not full dedication to, like, almost a more traditional masculine strong look, where
He's
Jean-Claude
in shape.
Van Damme's like fighter shape, like martial artist shape.
Yeah, he's like shredded, except he's like half the size of Nick Cage. Like he's half the height of Nick Cage. And of course we get this one's directed by John Woo, and the other and Surviving the Game is directed by some dude. And all right. So, Mike, where how do you want to start this? Because these movies even start the same. We get
All
a look at
right.
the previous hunt and how that ended, and then we get a look at a homeless man and how his life's going. The only thing that Hard
So
Target doesn't have is the death of a dog and an old man within the first 5 minutes.
I came up with a couple of comparison categories, see if you think of them. So obvious one is like our main character. Who do you who on two scales, the better survivalist and the better character?
Okay,
So
so we
who's
have
more effective, but who do you, and then who do you like more?
all right, so we have Chaz Boudreau versus Mason is all we're told. His name is just Mason, and that's
Next
Ice-T.
comparison, your which setting do you like better? The island or New Orleans? Like the jungle or New Orleans?
Okay.
Three, the leader of the hunting group.
So in this case, we're
Four.
gonna go with Lance Henriksen versus Rutger Hauer, right? Okay.
Four,
Okay.
the hunting group itself, like the other
Okay.
members besides the leader.
All right. So we really only have in that case, we really have Arnold Vosloo versus Gary Busey, John C. McGinley, and F. Murray Abraham and Charles S. Dutton. Because Hard Target really just has Arnold Vosloo and a bunch of dudes on bike motorcycles. That's about
Yeah.
it.
And then five, which oddly 90s vibe do you roll with more? Ice-T or Jean-Claude Van Damme?
They very much are locked in the 90s. There is a certain amount of genre to each of the men. Like they are in their own genres. It's pretty great. But I was also going to say we should add one more thing, and it could probably be like a subset of the setting, because we should actually do like the game itself and like how that is organized. I think that
I
should be
like
worked
that.
as well. So,
Oh,
because
and to keep it at an odd number, so we have to have a winner. Seven opening, which movie has the better opening sequence?
okay. All right. Yeah, we can do that. All right. So, what do you want to start with? Which one do you want to start with?
Let's might as well start with opening sequence, right?
Okay, opening sequence. So we re both of these open with the end of the previous hunt. And the first one, it Hard Target, ends with the father, a dude that looks like Jason Kelce falling on hard times. He
Yeah.
looks like Jason
He's the writer of
Kelce.
the movie.
What's that?
The father that dies in the beginning of Hard Target is the writer of the movie.
Is it really? Nice. I didn't even bother looking at him. Well, then that dude looks like a 90s version of Jason Kelce today.
He's a former, I think he was a former Marine turned screenwriter.
Sure, that sounds right. But all right, so he
He also
is
wrote
being
Darkman.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So he's being led through he's really being guided through the streets of New Orleans because he's being hunted by our crew, by Arnold Vosloo and Lance Henriksen. Now that's versus the other unknown homeless man in Surviving the Game, who's just being hunted. Like that's about it. We don't get much more than a man just being hunted. Like I don't even think we know who's hunting him either. We just kind of get a guy getting shot. That's about it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So I mean, if anything, I would go with Hard Target start because it actually like sets up the movie. And like you actually learn about what's going on here almost right away. Whereas Surviving the Game tries to like postpone it and make it almost a reveal to you, like what's
Yeah.
going on.
Yeah, that this is like so yeah, the previous hunt sets up Hard Target where the previous hunt for Surviving the Game is more of a just sets up the vibe, like sets it up for the audience to have like that the drama where they know but the characters don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so I got to give it the Hard Target simply because it's a little more interesting to watch this man kind of like not quite struggle to get through New Orleans, but it's more of like you actually see what's going on as opposed to a dude just running through the woods and dying. You know, it's like, wait, what the hell is that all about? I don't know what's going on here. Like everything gets set up in Hard Target. So I would lean Hard Target with that one.
I lean Hard Target as well.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's a pretty solid opening. It's pretty solid opening to the movie. It's like, all right, this sets everything off because you kind of have to have that in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie because you're not getting it from him. You're not getting anything from that guy. And you're really not going to a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie expecting him to be the exposition either. So
Yeah.
you really just got to give it to, you got to make sure the filmmaker knows what they're doing. Of course, it's John Woo, so of course he knows what he's doing. So this
And
that's
the
that
only
yeah,
time you
definitely.
really get exposition from Ice-T is when they can insert a rap into the movie somehow.
Yeah, that was, oh God, what was it? Ricochet is when he
Yeah.
has I believe he has his greatest
Yeah.
rando mid movie rap. But yeah, so all right, Hard Target on that one, definitely opening sequence. Should we do setting and game itself next?
Yep, I think
All
that's
right.
the
So New Orleans and Hard Target is the setting. I believe Pacific Northwest remote Oregon, I think is what we say
Yeah.
in Surviving the Game, even though the end of the movie takes place in Seattle. And I don't know if we're told where the actual beginning of the movie takes place, like where Ice-T is homeless, because it looks like San Francisco, but I think it's supposed to be like Portland or even Seattle maybe. But so Hard Target, your goal is you have to get from essentially like whatever graveyard they stop in, you have to get to the river is what you have to get to. And if you get to the river with this money belt on, you get to keep the money. You get to keep the money. Surviving the Game, you're brought in as a hunting tour guide. You are given a nice great dinner with the gang. You're smoking cigars, you're drinking some wine. And then the next morning you're woken up violently and given a leisurely breakfast length head start until you're hunted in the woods. Now, if you make it to civilization in that one, you survive. You win the game. Now, it's really just a matter of you win the game. Like you don't get anything. I don't think there's no prize to be had except for life at the end of the game. But of course, you are how many hundreds of miles away from civilization?
That is why I lean Hard Target, because the win condition is more achievable and it is like an actual game rather than we're just gonna bring you out here and kill you.
And it seems like just based on what Charles S. Dutton says, Rutger Hauer and the crew, basically like he's picking these homeless guys off from his 7th Street station, 7th Street mission, front basically. He essentially his day job, let's say, is to work at this mission and quote unquote want to help these homeless guys. And basically, he's just scouting is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it seems like he takes a good amount of pride in who he picks because they want it to actually be a hunt. They don't want it to be like he got 10 feet away, so we shot him and game over. Like they kind of put him through there's a very brief like endurance test that Rutger Hauer puts him through at the beginning because when he thinks it's just a regular job, because he sees that he smokes, he's like, all right, go 20 minutes on the or it's like half hour on this treadmill. And if you make it the half hour, you're good to go. So that's what Ice-T does, because that's where you get the famous line. He says, for $20, I'll run to Alaska. That's what he says. So we at least get some sort of like structure or guidelines and like purpose to the actual surviving the game. Whereas I think in Hard Target, it's really just comes down to it's more of a hostile situation because rich guys pay Lance Henriksen to be able to hunt whoever. And basically they just kind of set their parameters of who they want to hunt. Like the one guy, and it's the second game we see because we don't the end of the first game, we don't see who the actual hunter is for that one, who set that one up. The second one with the homeless guy that is I guess was friends with the girl's dad,
Yeah.
the black guy, he's apparently picked simply for the fact it does not outright said, but you get the impression that he's picked because he's black. And like the guy just wants to hunt a black guy. So there's like this weird unspoken racism to that one. But when it comes to surviving the game, they're almost like picking someone who's worthy of maybe actually surviving, you know?
Yeah, they want them to have a chance to survive because, like, it's they want it to be an actual sport. I also appreciate the dinner before because, like, it kind of it's like they get to know the person a bit too at the dinner.
And of course, that's when we get the amazing story of Gary Busey's 8th birthday or whatever
Yeah.
it is. No, I'm sorry. It's his 13th birthday is what it is, because he gets the dog when he's 8, and then he trains and loves the dog for 5 years, and then his dad takes him out into the woods and makes him kill the dog with his bare hands and a bunch of cherry bombs. Jesus Christ, I forgot. I didn't forget about the speech, but I forgot about how insane the actual story of the event is.
And did he improvise that?
I mean, it's Gary Busey, and at the time in
But yeah, Gary
1993,
Busey actually did that.
I mean, yeah, it was his actual 13th birthday, or it was a complete improvisation, or it started as your dad made you kill your dog. Come up with a story, Gary. So Gary came up with a story, you know? And it's great because it's such a great little Busey character, and it's a great little Busey touch that it's definitely, there's no way it was written that way. It had to have been a very basic story that Gary was allowed to like embellish and kind of go with, because he really does put his Gary Busey charm into it as much as you can a story about a kid killing a dog, you know. But on the Hard Target side, the fact that Lance Henriksen is really just kind of like, he's operating in places where crime essentially goes unnoticed. So he mentions New Orleans because, of course, New Orleans got a pretty high crime rate, especially in the 90s, it did. And he even mentions that, like, we have to move this operation to like Czechoslovakia or Eastern Europe. He's like, we can be there for years, you know? So it's like they're going places where they can get away with this. And
Which is
it's
kind
more of a
of why
situational thing.
I lean Hard Target for actual location, because I think it being done in the city makes for more interesting and challenging content.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for the actual setting itself, I agree with you. I definitely go with Hard Target, because having just been to New Orleans as well, it's pretty fun to see like him running down like a brief kind of like small section of Bourbon Street, and then being in a completely different part of the city that is by no means nearby. And then but seeing him go through New Orleans is pretty great, because we do get the shot of the second guy, of the black guy, who gets gunned down in the middle of Bourbon Street, and everyone's just kind of like, you know, Bourbon Streeting it up. And when this guy dies, they just kind of run away. So it's not like no one's trying to help this man. They're all trying to run. Like, they see him bleeding, they're like, fuck this guy, whatever. But
Which is odd
him,
because they should just be like, oh, that's New Orleans.
right? It's like, oh, this dude's wasted. This dude, let's party with this guy. But with that, it's a little better, because then you kind of see like how you would try to like get help and blah blah blah. It's more of like a I'm trying to think. It's more of like, it, for some reason, made me think of the Black Mirror episode of White Bear, I think it is. I don't know if you've seen the episode where it's the girl that's running through like whatever English suburb she's in, and everyone's just kind of filming it, and she's being like hunted, and no one's helping. They're just filming, and she's going
Which
through a
is,
sub Black Mirror.
I haven't watched Black Mirror.
It's an amazing show, and this is one of the better episodes though. But the whole episode runs through this woman trying, basically being hunted, like a Surviving the Game situation. But everyone, all this, there's all these spectators, and they're just filming with their cell phones. They're just watching and spectating. And not to ruin the plot twist, because it is a great episode, and if anybody's listening, you know, wanted to actually watch it, I won't ruin it for you, because it's a great reveal. The reveal itself is obviously, like all Black Mirror episodes, just a commentary on society. And with Hard Target, you're kind of like, oh, there is a little bit of that there. Like, what would these in this particular setting, this kind of game going on, would it actually be noticed? And in, I guess, 1994 New Orleans, it wouldn't really be until guns started getting fired. So that's, I do agree with the setting. When it comes to the actual like game itself, I very much prefer Surviving the Game, because it's much more philosophical. It's much more thought out. It's about like the actual human condition, stuff like that. And it's really the hunting party versus the hunted. Whereas in Hard Target, the guy is there. You there's no way to win that one because the motorcycle people are hemming you in the entire time. And it just really just so happens that this the first guy happened to get to the river and then get gunned down. Like he could have died at any point during this entire run because they know where he is the entire time, and they're never far away from him. And by never far, I mean they're literally like 5 feet away from the guy the entire time. So
Yeah,
that's that like annoyed me. I was like, no, come on, that's not really. Really hunting anybody. That's shooting fish in a barrel, you know?
that's you kind of convinced me on switching. I like the parameters better for Hard Target because it seems achievable, and I do like the prize aspect of it, where the prize aspect makes more sense if you have people actually like signing up for the game, like
Yeah.
people falling on hard times who need the money. Like, if you're just abducting people, then I don't necessarily see the point of the prize aspect.
Yeah, and it's apparently it's like organized ahead of time. Like whoever the buyer is, whoever I guess the quote unquote player is that's funding this, they have their own stipulations. So it's like it's as if somebody were to go deer hunting and know exactly what kind of deer they'd pick their own deer. They have people following their deer, you know, and then they pick the biggest hand cannon they can find because the gun the dude's got, it's like an elephant gun, you know, and it's like there's no real skill here. Like if that person is running, you got your motorcycle corrallers and everything. It's like there's what's the hunt here? Like what is it? You're just really you're prolonging a murder is what you're doing. Whereas even though that goal seems achievable. The game is stacked against the person playing, against the hunted. Whereas surviving the game, it's a little better because they're brought on under the auspices of a job. And even though Ice-T should be like, wait, what? Why am I your hunting guide in remote
Yeah, he's like, I don't
Britain?
know the area. I
Like,
don't know. Like, it should have been
why would I
suspicious.
ever be? Like, why would I ever be qualified for this job? You know, something's got to be up. And he's much more street smart than anybody else. So we got to figure he'd be like, no fucking way. There's no way in hell I'm doing this job. They're going to try to haunt me and kill me.
You know what? It would have made more sense if the homeless person was white, because they would
Exactly.
totally go for
Oh,
that
absolutely. Especially if they weren't as street smart as Ice-T is shown to be, like, you know,
shit.
and he's very much street smart, but he's also, and it's funny because he's also very resourceful because he does rob the Brontosaurus meat factory or whatever it is where he gets that giant slab of beef and he ends up cooking over the hobo fire. I mean, I forgot just how big that thing was. It is gigantic.
Yeah, I did like the Ice-T character is awesome in
He's great.
this.
He is. Yeah, I mean, so I guess for the hunt and the setting, I give a soft point to Hard Target, but the overall game and whatnot, I give it's a hard surviving the game for me.
I go surviving the game for the hunt itself. And then, but the setting, I think New Orleans is a lot more interesting than the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we are. I don't know. Are we halfway through?
So we
Are we?
got 3 out of the 7.
Okay. So we'll do one more category, then we'll do our beer check-in. So,
Let's do the hunting parties themselves.
okay. So we'll do the hunting party.
This
So on the Hard
is
Target
the
side,
biggest. This is the biggest in favor of one movie when it comes to all the categories.
yeah, I mean, on the Hard Target side, we have Arnold Vosloo. Who you may know is the villain in The Mummy, in the Brendan Fraser Mummy, not the Tom Cruise Mummy. We also have Lance Henriksen, who you should know as Lance Henriksen. Then there's like a couple other dudes. There are just a couple other dudes. And then there's the helmeted motorcycle crew. And that's it. And then, of course, surviving the game, we have Gary Busey, we have Rutger Hauer, Charles S. Dutton, John C. McGinley, Wolf Murray Abraham. and son. I can't remember who that jackass is, who that kid is, but I do remember us saying that there's no possible way that he should have been the one that was cast in 1993. I mean, unless they literally ran out of money and were like, look, we need a glorified extra to play F. Murray Abraham's kid.
That's so now I will the one point that I give against surviving the game in this is killing off your biggest threat first. It sets up
Yeah.
such a issue with the other guys. Because it's like once
That's.
Busey's dead, besides Rutger Hauer, the other guys are like nothing.
It's. It. It does. It does suck that one went that Busey gets taken out. It is good that we do get a Busey speech and performance during dinner, but then after the next morning when the hunt begins, Ice-T doubles back to the cabin, rigs it to blow, fights Gary Busey for a minute, and then blows him up in the house. So you're like,
Which, granted, is
oh.
one of the best action scenes in the movie, but
Yeah.
it shouldn't have happened as early as it did. Like
No.
it felt like the movie blew its load way too early.
Oh, it absolutely did. And it's annoying because after that, Rutger Hauer, granted, is chewing the scenery. John C. McGinley is pretty great. Murray Abraham, on the other hand, isn't really doing much. You know, even for F. Murray Abraham, he's not doing much because there's not much to his character beyond he thinks his son's a pussy, basically. That's about it. And other than that, we don't get much. Whereas Busey, being a psychiatrist for the CIA, for some reason, apparently, like that would have been such a better performance to keep going. Like, you could have easily gotten rid of F. Murray Abraham and the kid, or just F. Murray Abraham, and then had the kid want to get revenge after that. But the whole time from the beginning, once the kid finds out they're hunting Ice-T, he's out. Like, he's done. He's like, I'm not doing this. Like, I have moral objections, blah, blah, blah. And it's just boring for that guy. So that's why he either should have been a better actor. Or he just shouldn't have been included, you know? It's like, why
Yeah.
do we need this? Like, or just kill
Why
him off
do we
in the
even care
original.
about this?
Yeah, why do I give a shit about you, man? But it's obviously our target only has two name actors, and they don't have the ensemble cast that is the hit squad of surviving the game. Like, these dudes are all great on their own. So it's all surviving the game. It's all
Oh, yeah,
surviving the game.
absolutely.
There's no question here. All right, so we are halfway through. Mike, how is your beer?
It's, to be honest, not an easy drink. I'm not big on sours in the first place, and adding spicy to sours, it's an interesting choice. But I do really, so again, I purposely picked one of their more insane beers, but Brickworks Brewery in Delaware, really good.
Nice. Yeah. And as much as it pains me to say, Russ Brewing actually makes a pretty solid Hackensack Hefeweizen. And yeah, they're pretty good. I don't have a gun in my hand saying that. I say that of my own free will. I mean, is it in Monmouth? The can says Monmouth County.
There, I want to say like Middletown,
It says Port
like
Monmouth, New
northern
Jersey.
Monmouth County, I think.
It says Port Monmouth.
Oh, Port Monmouth, that is, I think that's right near Atlantic Highlands. It's a
Ah.
smaller town.
So you can stop by the quick stop after you get some Ross Brewing.
Oh, yeah, so Port Monmouth is actually very close to Quick Stop. It's literally the town over from Leonardo.
Nice. Well, I think Atlantic Highlands is where one of them, like one of the characters in Clerks, I think goes to high school. I can't remember who it was.
Well, Atlantic Highlands, again, is the town over from Leonardo.
Nice. All right. So, but yeah, it's pretty good. So, all right. Now what we got? What's next?
All right, so I guess we should talk about our main, since we're talking villains, we should talk our main villain. the leader of the Hunt.
So we're going Lance Henriksen versus Rutger Hauer in this case.
Yes.
Even though, technically speaking, Busey is the one that funds the whole thing. But Rutger Hauer is absolutely in charge. All right, so Lance Henriksen, I don't know, man. I got it. There is a scene in Hard Target where I very much was like, okay, Gary Busey has competition. Because it's when Lance Henriksen is angrily playing the piano. He's playing the piano. He's sitting at the piano playing it, like, really angry. He's just very angry at his piano. And he's playing. He's still playing it, like, a beautiful song, but he's just very pissed off while he's doing it for some reason. And it kind of, like, it made me think of Gary Busey's, like, weird-ass stories. I was like, oh, all right. But then there's Rutger Hauer and his numerous disguises that he has.
Rutger Hauer, I totally understand his, like, disgruntledness behind this movie and feeling like Gary Busey was, like, stealing the show from him, because Gary Busey does absolutely take away from Rutger Hauer. But what kind of brings Rutger Hauer back is the last scene you get, the conclusion.
He plays, like, the Russian Orthodox priest in the middle of Seattle trying to drive away. I was like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, wait, of all the disguises in Seattle, why are you picking the one that will make you stand out the most? Like, you might as well put on a clown costume, you know, rainbow wig and all. You know, it's like, oh, who's that guy? Well, that's definitely Rutger Hauer. That's absolutely Rutger Hauer over there.
That's like the Family Guy's kid. You guys are idiots. They're going to be looking for army guys.
Exactly. Lance Henriksen does get a good, he does get a good performance, and he's a reliably Lance Henriksen character. And Rucker Hauer is good, but he's very, like, he's the Lance Henriksen, he's the Rucker Hauer, like, menacing, like that quiet, very even tempered Lance, like a Rucker Hauer menacing. Whereas Lance Henriksen is kind of a little, he's kind of out there, but he's like, he kind of plays it cool as well. He's not quite crazy, but he's not quite normal, you know? And his angry piano playing is about the best that we get until he has to fish a grenade out of his pants at the end. And even then, it's still kind of like, all right, this is kind of weak for you, Lance.
Yeah, but he does benefit from not having competition, is the thing.
That is true. Yeah, and Arnold Vosloo, to his credit, is giving a pretty good intimidating performance. Like, it's like, okay, that guy's the scary number one. He's the right hand man. But in this case, he would be more of the Charles S. Dutton one to one, like, counterpart. Whereas Charles S. Dutton starts normal and then gets crazy and, like, reveals his Seven Street Mission persona is the fake. Like, that's the fake person that he uses to recruit people. Whereas once he's on the Hunt, he's like as bloodthirsty as the rest of them. But yeah, I mean, as well as like, it looks like effectiveness goes, because we don't get a sense of how long Lance Henriksen has been doing it, but the simple fact that they know where to go to accomplish these hunts tells me that they've been doing it for a little bit. And there's at least, I don't know, 30 heads in that room in the cabin in Surviving the Game. So they've got at least 30 years, maybe 15 if there's two a year. You know, they've got a good amount of time that they've been doing this hunt. So Rutger Hauer is a very good, I guess, organizer of the crew.
Yeah.
So, and he's got his whole philosophy about everything and all of that. So I simply because I also like his performance and the acting a little better, I'm going with Rutger Hauer.
I agree. Rutger Hauer is the more he's the more competent performance. Though I do like the more eccentric nature of for Lance Henriksen. But yeah. I do lean Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right now. Our scores, so in terms of opening sequence, it is Hard Target, For the game itself, it is
Surviving the game.
surviving the game. For the location, it's Hard Target. For the bad guy group, it's surviving the game. And for the bad guy leader, it's surviving the game.
All right, so we got 3-2 surviving the game. All right, so what was the next one we had?
So now we get into our main characters. So our the three remaining the yeah the three remaining are 90s vibe, Jean-Claude Van Damme or Ice-T. Which main character do you like more, and which main character do you feel is more competent?
Okay, I mean, I feel like that can be all rolled into one if we need to. So we get Claude, we get Chaz Boudreau in Hard Target, which is Jean-Claude Van Damme doing his Nicolas Cage and Con Air cosplay. He is a former merchant marine who has become homeless and is in the middle of trying to, he's basically trying to find one leg. He has to find enough money to pay his union dues so he can get back on a boat and actually get a job again. Now, he is brought on, he is paid some money to help find the opening scene, 90s Jason Kelsey guy. His daughter, that guy's daughter, has now come to New Orleans, and she's paying Jacqueline Van Damme as her like guide to help find her father and all that. And then we're versus Ice-T, who is Mason. He is a homeless man in a Pacific Northwest, or at least Pacific City. He accidentally or through inaction killed his wife and kid because he was supposed to fix the electrical work in their apartment or something like that. And then it burned down and they died while he was out getting cigarettes or something. So he blames himself. He's homeless because of that. He has no military training. There's no real training behind this guy. He's just a guy that had a hard situation happen. Now he's homeless. But he's then given a chance at a job by Rutger Hauer, which turns out to be being hunted for sport.
So,
And
based off their backgrounds, the which main character is more competent should be easy, Jean-Claude Van Damme. But through what
absolutely.
we see on screen, there's not as much of a difference as there should be.
Yeah, exactly. Because the only talent that Jean-Claude Van Damme has, or the only skill that he has, on at least what's depicted on screen, is kicking ass. He can just kick your ass. That's about it. But there's no like he's got a friend. He's got what's his name? Diabetes. Diabetes. Wilford Brimley. Thank you, hon. My wife just yelled from the other room. Yeah, it's Wilford Brimley. He's his uncle, I think is what he says. And he's his uncle in the middle of the bayou. He's got survival skills because apparently he lives off the land out there. But other than that, it's just a guy that used to be in the military, kind of using that skill to just kick some ass. Whereas Ice-T, I don't know. I kind of got to give it to Ice-T because he, for all intents and purposes that were given in the beginning of the movie, should be killed pretty much immediately. Like,
But he shows cleverness that Jean-Claude Van Damme really doesn't. And he
right.
shows adaptiveness that now I'm torn because I feel like I should give the benefit of the doubt to Jean-Claude Van Damme just out of the realisticness of the backstory and how much more competent he should be. But based off of what's shown on screen, it's Ice-T.
Absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely is Ice-T. Because, I mean, what we're shown with Ice-T is we are shown his survival skills. Because when him and the old man that ends up dying, they go to that meatpacking district or whatever, they go to the meat plant. get their Brontosaurus burgers and all, like their Brontosaurus slab. But he's done that, apparently done that before. So like he knows how to get that. He knows to feed the guard dog, which is funny because he's walking out with like the cow on his shoulder and he's holding like another like slab of ribs or whatever that the Doberman is eating like next to. So it's like, all right, so he knows how to get, you know, he's resourceful at least. And you do get the opinion, you do get the feeling that since they do live in that bus or whatever it is that they've converted into like bunk beds and a house, like a makeshift home, that he is homeless resourceful. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, on the other hand, should be more of, he should be more of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. Like he should be in a situation he shouldn't be winning, but because of his training and virtue of who he is, he can survive it by putting that training to use. Whereas what we're actually shown in Hard Target is that this guy is just better at kicking someone's ass than the dudes that are trying to kill him.
It's
Which.
almost like you have a professional Mortal Kombat player fighting against the amateurs, like.
Right. It's there's not so much character skill as there is Jean-Claude Van Damme can beat you up. That's a really all it really is. And that's how his characters are always written. Whereas Ice-T's character, on the other hand, is
He's actually put into a position where he can show how competent he is.
exactly. Like he can prove him, see, he can prove that he's not just the wasted human life that F. Murray Abraham basically keeps calling him and saying he's nothing. And then John C. McGinley wants to kill him simply for the fact that a homeless person killed his daughter, you know? And so he thinks that because Mason is homeless, he's just an easy target as well. And that just goes to show, like, because when even then, it's funny because Ice-T does kidnap John C. McGinley and he does tell him, like, the truth of what happened to his wife and kid. And even then, John C. McGinley's like, you know what? He could have killed me and he didn't. I'm done. I'm just done hunting. I guess this was my therapy and my therapy session is over. So I'm going to go home. Even though I have said in the beginning of this movie that I have no reason to live and I have nothing to live for, I'm going to go home with a newfound sense of life because I have met a homeless man that I thought was an animal. It turns out he was not. So now I'm going to turn the other cheek and I don't know, become a pastor or something. Who knows?
Or at least not hunt people for sport anymore.
Or at the very least, not hunt people for sport, which is the
I'm
least
going to
we
give
can
up.
ask
I'm
for.
quitting that cold turkey.
Right. I am such a good person now that I will no longer want to intentionally murder someone in an elaborate way, an elaborate scheme. I definitely got to give it to, because there's also the simple fact of who would we rather spend time with here? Would it rather be Chaz Boudreau, known quiet asshole, it seems, or would we rather spend some time with homeless Ice-T, aka Mason? I would much rather chill with Ice-T than I would
Which is
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
why, so that is, so that means likability and resourcefulness could both go to surviving the game,
Yeah,
which I think puts
absolutely.
surviving the game up 5-2.
Yeah. And then I guess the overall vibe of them
I
is,
vibe way more with Ice-T than I do Jean-Claude Van Damme.
well, absolutely. But the real question is, the question was, which better 90s vibe is it? In that case, I have to give it to Jean-Claude Van Damme because he has the 90s mullet that only a man in the 90s could have. That is a 90s-centric mullet right there. It is so amazing because it's like wet. It's like the sweaty, just washed mullet, and
It
doesn't have that.
also has that curl to
Yeah,
it.
it doesn't have like the front bangs like that 80s mullets had. Like it doesn't have the hair sticking up in the front that the 80s mullets had. This is all like short hair on the top that is slicked back a little bit, but much longer on the in the rear. It is the
Now,
full on 1090.
who had the better mullet, Jean-Claude Van Damme in this or Tommy Gunn in Rocky V?
I mean, well, those are two tough mullets right there. Those are two tough mullets. I would argue that neither holds a candle to like we mentioned, Nick Cage and Con Air. Because his mullet is gorgeous. It is amazing. But there's kind of a different 90s vibe when it comes to Ice-T, because obviously he's Ice-T, and the man has never been a chameleon as an actor. He's never disappeared into a role where you forget that you're watching Ice-T in a role.
But even SVU, one of the most successful TV runs for an actor, it's just Ice-T solving crimes.
It's still just Ice-T, you know? And there's something to be said about that, because even Arnold Schwarzenegger, the man who has never been anything but Arnold Schwarzenegger in a role, there are times where you look at, there's a couple movies that he's done, like Maggie, for one. You look at him and you go, oh, wait, that's not quite Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, is this not Arnold Schwarzenegger? With Ice-T, though, there's never the doubt. It is always Ice-T 100% of the time. He could be dead silent in a movie, and you'd still be like, this is Ice-T.
It's like the John Mulaney sketch. He's like, I could watch Ice-T just asking questions all day.
Exactly. Now, I don't know if I mentioned on the Surviving the Game episode that we did, there was another movie that it might still be on Prime. I don't know why it wouldn't be, because it's just that bad. There is another movie from the 90s around the time of Surviving the Game that Ice-T did. And I'm trying to find it. It wasn't. It's obviously not CB4. It's Surviving the Game. What was it after that? Okay, then there was Tank Girl that we did talk about. There's another movie he did. Mean Guns. That's what it's called. It's called Mean Guns. Mean Guns is him and Christopher Lambert. Now, this is a sort of, this is a sort of, it's almost, it's not quite Surviving the Game, but it is almost as if it's like Royal Rumble, Hunger Games, I guess I'll say, featuring criminals. It's like Smoke and Aces Royal Rumble, like the kind of thing, where like all of these, exactly, all of these criminals are in this one building, and there's 100 of them. They run afoul of this group called the Syndicate, and they're basically put in this building, and they're given like X amount of time to kill each other, and the winner walks away with like $1 million or something like that. And it's such a ridiculous movie that even with Christopher Lambert in there being Christopher Lambert, all of these other people in this movie, there's no one really worth watching in this movie. But when Ice-T is on screen, you're like, holy shit, is this just an Ice-T like music video? What is going on here? What is he doing in this movie? He's not doing anything but being Ice-T. That's phenomenal.
That's Ice-T. So, and then the way the movies themselves look in terms of vibes, because Hard Target takes place in a city, I just feel like it inherently gets an edge on the 90s vibe, where it's like, where most of Surviving the Game's in like the wilderness, you don't get it as much.
Yeah, you don't really get anything aside from some 80s, some 90s t-shirts and hats in the actual street scenes on whatever the streets of whatever that we're in the beginning. But yeah, it's definitely the 90s vibe itself definitely does kind of have to get a Hard Target. But I don't know, there's something about Ice-T and the charisma that man has. Somehow it's not a swift victory in that category, but it's close. And it's simply for the weight that is Ice-T, you know?
But that Jean-Claude Van Damme still gives the title to Surviving the Game.
Yep. And then, of course, we even got, you know, I forgot, but Hard Target does try to come in hard at the end with that crew of dudes. Like, if anyone's seen The Beekeeper, which now Mike has seen, so Mike has also seen the greatest movie that's ever been made.
Fucking love that movie.
It's amazing. If you haven't seen The Beekeeper, you're wasting your life. You need to see it.
And it's basically sillier John Wick with evil NFT bros.
Yeah, it's so good. If your parents or your grandparents have ever had a computer, they've been stabbed like Felicia Rashad is in the beginning of this movie. But the funniest thing is, at the end of that movie, we get this like all-star team of like anti-beekeeper hunters or like beekeeper hunters that look like they're straight out of, since it's David Ayer, they look like they're straight out of like Suicide Squad. Or even to the extent of like Smoke and Aces. Like they just come out of nowhere and they're just a bunch of random characters. Hard Target attempts to do that as well, because we do get Sven Ole Thorsen as a random goon at the end of Hard Target for no reason. Like he should have been part of this crew the whole time. Like the dude is a great, like third build heavy. You know, he was so great at that. But it's, yeah, I mean, both movies, Hard Target is absolutely a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It's nothing more than that. Even though it is John Woo, there are some flares to it. There are some slow motion doves. There is all that, and it's basically John Woo's version of if Jean-Claude Van Damme was a cowboy. That's about it. It's a very much got a Western vibe to it, even down to like the soundtrack where it's like the like spurs jingling and shit for no reason, but. It's very much a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, whereas Surviving the Game, you look at it and you go, holy shit, this is a pretty great like ensemble movie here. Even though Ice-T like runs away with it, you still got Busey for a little bit, you still got Rutger Hauer, you still got John C. McGinley like at 100 miles an hour from the beginning. You can tell he is keyed up to be John C. McGinley from the second he walks on the screen. But it's definitely a movie that I think of the two, if you watch them both, you have to watch Surviving the Game second, because you have to see how much better the job of Hard Target, like the game of Hard Target, can be done. You know, the true most dangerous game is Surviving the Game. It's amazing. But yeah, and like we said before, we cannot recommend the lesser known entries in the Ice-T filmography, like Ricochet and Surviving the Game. You kind of have to watch them. If you don't, you've wasted your life. I don't care.
You're
I don't.
correct.
Yeah, I don't care if you've had like 9 kids who all become doctors and humanitarians. If you haven't seen Surviving the Game and Ricochet, you've wasted your life. You have wasted your life, and your kids should be sad and angry with you. So that said, Mike, where can people find us on the internet?
They can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, just about anywhere else you get your podcast from. Thanks to Spotify Podcast. You'll find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Happy Hour Films Podcast. Like our stuff, people.
Yeah, do it. Do it now. All right. So next week, we get a little crazy. We're gonna get a little futury. We're definitely gonna get more long leather trench coats as well. But we're also, I think, gonna be revisiting, I believe he's the director of The Crow. We're gonna be I think it's Alex Proyas. We are going to be revisiting one of his movies as well. Now, this movie came out the year before the other movie we'll be talking about. So we'll be talking about Dark City and The Matrix. We're going to be talking about those two. It has been quite some time since I have seen Dark City, and I don't even think when I did see it, I don't think I saw it sober. So I don't remember much of Dark City, but obviously The Matrix is The Matrix. So when we come back next week with movies that are basically the same, we'll be doing Dark City and The Matrix. And until that time, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McGuigan.
We'll see you guys next time. So long.